And I hope that you've been enjoying going through the Psalms in this series on Psalms. Psalm 51 is, well, what can I say? It's an incredible psalm. And we're going to be looking at it. It's incredible. Nowhere in the Bible is there the danger of falling into sin more powerfully portrayed than in the life of David. And allow me to give you a little bit of background into the psalm. David was relaxing on his balcony when he should have been at war. And David caught a glimpse of a beautiful woman as she bathed. And tragically, he surrendered to the temptation and committed adultery with her while her husband Uriah fought Israel's enemies. And Bathsheba, she became pregnant as a result of David's union with her. And David panicked, and he brought her husband home from the battlefront with the expectation that he would be reunited with his wife so that he could hide the secret. However, Uriah was a loyal, faithful man, and he was loyal to his men, and he refused to enjoy his wife's company while his fellow soldiers slept on the battlefield. And when all David's attempts to make Uriah appear to be the baby's father failed, David arranged for Uriah to be placed on the front lines of the fiercest battles. And as anticipated, he was slain there. Yes, this is the David, the psalmist that we talk about, who wrote all the Psalms. Yes, this is the David who God said is a man after his own heart. Yes, he was the psalmist of Israel. Yes, a man after God's own heart. However, this was also David. And nearly a year into this, David refused to deal with his sin. And eventually, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront the king. And finally, David repented of his sin. So here we are in Psalm 51 this morning. And it's David's heartfelt confession to God. Isn't that good? It's his heartfelt confession to God. And so of all the Psalms that we see in all of the Psalms, Psalm 51 is probably one of the best known and loved because it is so personal. It is very, very personal. It is deeply intense. It teaches us several critical lessons about sin and also about forgiveness. Amen? And so even the most godly people can fall into terrible sin, right? And sin is serious, causing terrible consequences. Just one lapse into sin can change our lives and the lives of those around us forever and ever and ever. And people are all nodding at me. Amen? And we could see that. Just look at 1 Kings chapter 15 and 5. So we never sin so grievously that we cannot come to God for forgiveness. And that's what the beautiful thing of it is. No matter what the sin, no matter what you've done, what we've done, what we've thought, there's no sin that is so grievous to God that we can't go to Him for forgiveness. And when we confess our sin to God sincerely, He will forgive, cleanse, and restore us regardless of how appalling the sin may be. Amen? Isn't that good? And David confessed his sin to the Lord, and he made two promises to the Lord when he confessed his sins. First, he would use his experience to teach others, in verse 13. And second, he would praise God for his boundless mercy and grace. You have to understand something. This guy killed somebody. He killed someone. And he was the king of Israel. And he wrote the Psalms. He was the worshiper. He was the one who created the worship in the house. So all of a sudden, what happens is if Melissa this morning was the worshiper in the house and she went and she shot Pauline, you know, we would be in shock. But with a repentant heart, she would go before God, like David did. And guess what? God would forgive her. Amen? But we wouldn't want that to happen to you, Pauline. So along with Psalm 32, Psalm 51, it's David's fulfillment of these vows that he's making. In it, he teaches us how to confess our sins, and he exalts God for his forgiveness. So just follow with me a little bit of an outline through this here. When you are guilty of committing sin, in verses 1 to 3, cry out to God for mercy and compassion. That's what we learn from the life of David. Verses 4 to 7, confess your sin. Verses 8 to 12, pray for restoration and renewal. In verses 13 to 17, make a renewed commitment to God. And in verses 18 and 19, intercede for others. And so cry out to God, cry out for God's mercy, number one, and compassion. When David finally faced God with his sin, he offered no excuses. He offered no excuses. How many times when you've been caught doing something, you make all sorts of excuses? He was caught. He wanted to be pure before God. He made no excuses. Guilty and utterly broken, he flung himself on the mercy of God, appealing for God's loving kindness and his tender mercies. That's what he did. And David asked God for mercy. Did you know that God delights in forgiving you? Did you know that God delights in extending mercy and grace to each of you, even when we don't even deserve it? When we don't deserve it, he still wants to do that. And by appealing to God's loving kindness, David believed that God would be faithful to his promises. And when you're in the Word of God, it's full of promises. And when you believe in those promises, you have faith that God will be true to his promises. And David, he had nothing else to do. He laid his life down before God. And he stood that David believed that God would be faithful to the promises of Scripture. Even when we fail him, as David did, the Lord does not fail us ever, ever, ever. Amen. How many of you can ever say that the Lord has really failed you? He has not failed us. Never, never, never. David's transgressions needed to be blotted out. They needed to be blotted out. How many of you this morning there's things that, you know, maybe you're not so proud of, you know? And they just need to be blotted out, okay? And so, you know what? If that's you this morning and you listen to what I'm preaching this morning, and before you go today, you just ask God to blot them out. To blot them out. And that's what David did. He just needed to have it blotted out, wiped away, fully erased. Fully erased. And David was not just speaking of an outward act of sin, but an inward condition that caused him to sin. There's inward conditions that cause us to sin. Amen? And David confessed that he needed to be washed thoroughly from his sin, scrubbed until he was completely clean from the inside out. Amen. Amen. Someone asked me this morning, they said, answer me a question. How do you love people so much? And I think I answered with the question that was being asked, and I said, well, this morning I got up and I totally did my devotions. And I was in the Word, and I did a couple of devotionals, and I have a prayer list that I prayed through and everything, and I was ready, and I loved God. And then what happens is I love people. I said, but if I miss that, I said, then what happens is then I get grumbly, okay? And I could grumble, and things could bug me and stuff like this. But when you're in the presence of God, it's like you came in this morning, Nicole, how are you? You know, hi, guys, hey, you know. Did you have a nice sweet 16 birthday? Thank you for that card that you just saw me put on Facebook. There's a whole difference. And David, he confessed that he needed to be washed thoroughly from his sin so that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit would flow through his life so that he could lead a nation into the presence of God. And that is a thing of beauty. He understood that unless he was cleaned of his inward lust, he would fall into sin again. He would fall into sin again. Now, each of us can easily downplay our sin. Okay? How many of you grew up Catholic? Okay? So it was like, what, a mortal sin, or what was it? And so, you know, what would we do? Go to purgatory for a little bit, or you know, and stuff like this. And we would measure it, and it would be like, oh, that's just a little white sin, or that's a sin. Well, sin, right? Sin is sin. And each of us, we could downplay our sin or even justify it to the point of casting blame on others. Well, I sinned because of this because it's your fault, right? It's your fault that I'm doing this. It's your fault that I'm sinning, Nicole, okay? It's all about you today, you know? So there you go. And he was feeling guilt and fully acknowledging that he had rebelled against God's law. And Psalm 51 teaches us how to confess our sins. And David's demeanor as he approached God demonstrates the attitude of all who are genuinely broken because of sin in their life. We realize that we do not deserve God's forgiveness. We realize we don't deserve it. We cast ourselves on the Lord's mercy. We make no excuses for what we have done. We acknowledge the severity of our sin, refusing to soften or downplay the gravity of what it means. We do not attempt to justify our sin. We do not blame others. We freely admit our guilt. And when we cry out to God in humility and brokenness, we can know that he is faithful to his character and to his promises. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I love 1 John 1 and 9. It says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to receive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Genuine confession is the key to forgiveness, and God will forgive and he will cleanse us. What an awesome God. Amen? And so next is confess your sin. After hiding the terrible sin for nearly a year, David confessed it to the Lord. Confessing sin is both admitting to our sin and agreeing with him about it. So, Lord, this is my confession, and I agree with you that I'm not really too impressed with it either, okay? And David began his confession by recognizing that he had first and foremost sinned against God and not denying the fact that he had also sinned against others and also against himself. And David was ready to accept whatever judgment was going to come his way. And so what happens is he just did it, and it's really beautiful. And so David, he began by recognizing it, and he was ready to accept whatever judgment was imposed on him. He acknowledged that he deserved God's judgment. By the way, just so you know, the crimes that he committed, or the sins that he committed, were punishable by death in Israel. And he was standing before God, and he was acknowledging, because God's presence was so important to him that he was willing to take judgment even if it meant death, because he did not want to be separated from such a holy God. And when God gets a hold of your heart and you know him like that, he did not want to be separated from that, even if it required meaning death. He acknowledged that he received judgment. David also understood that God does not merely want us to conform outwardly to his commands, but he wants us to obey them from the depths of our heart. And when God's truth, his holy word, fills our hearts, it empowers us to be wise and to make right decisions. Amen? Amen? It really, really does. And we need to grasp. We really need to grasp the lessons that David taught about genuine confession of sin in these verses. Now, I don't think that too many of you killed anyone here, and maybe you've wanted to, and maybe you've wanted to at times, Pauline, but you haven't, you know. But the thing is, you know, but we have to. you know, and it's like sin is sin. And we need to grasp it. So number three is to pray for restoration and renewal. All sin carries a price. All sin carries a price. And much of what was lost due to his sin, David, could not be restored. It's just the way it is. It could not be restored. And David would suffer the consequences of his sin the rest of his life. Did you know that? But he himself could be restored. And he prayed for God to grant restoration and renewal to his weak, wounded spirit. And David carried a massive burden. He was crushed physically, spiritually, and also emotionally. And when he opened the door for sin to enter his life, David's joy and his gladness vanished. How many could relate to that? It vanished. And David begged God to restore joy to his heart by relieving the pain of his brokenness. Kind of a heavy message, eh, for Sunday morning? But it's the Word. It's the Word of God. Desperately thirsting for renewed fellowship with God, David humbly asked the Lord to blot out all his transgressions, to completely wipe it away so God would no longer look at it and the joy of his relationship would be restored. And in verses 10 to 12, David asked God to radically transform him by creating a clean heart within him, a completely new heart. Along with that, he asked him to renew a right spirit within him. And David also asked God not to reject him, not to remove his presence of the Holy Spirit from him. You know what, folks? Next year will be 30 years Linda and I are in ministry together, pastoring together, with including Bible college. And you've been in services here because we're in our 20th year here, and you've seen things happen that only God could take the credit for in this house, like supernatural things, okay? And I get to lead this, and I get to discern. So even as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm still interceding within my spirit. Lord, show me where you're at work here. Is there one heart, Lord, that needs to respond to you today? And what happens is, and you start to learn the voice of the Spirit, and for that to be taken away, so that I would just be here just communicating words to you. It's just an exercise. Okay, I did an essay here this week, and I'm just going to give you my essay without the Spirit of God. And David, he knew the anointing, and he just craved that it would be restored to him, that rich anointing, that Spirit of God, that rich love within his spirit, to get up in the morning and to have that skip in your walk. Oh, Lord, bring it on, bring it on. I have the armor of God on today. I'm telling you, he didn't want that presence of the Holy Spirit to be removed from him. And I don't want that anointing of the Holy Spirit to be removed from any of you either. Okay, I want you to walk in an anointing. I want you to sense the presence of God so strong, okay, that it grips you. It grips you, and the moment you would see that you would move away from it, even for a second, you would want to get right back there because it is so glorious, so real, so incredible. Number four is verses 13 to 17 is talking about a renewed commitment to God. When David finally confessed his sin, the desire to be used by God welled up again. He was prompted to renew his commitment to the Lord. Once he was fully restored, he vowed to help people. And when we're walking in a right relationship with him, we want to serve. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it takes. We want to serve. We want to speak blessings into people's lives. Lord, don't let me miss an opportunity to be a vessel into someone's life. Amen. And it was starting to be renewed in him. His spirit was being renewed within him. And the desire to be used by God was welling up within his spirit again. I could just see this worshiper, David, the David that we know. He was starting to well up within him again. And I could just see him, thank you, Lord, your spirit is upon me again. And the Lord used him to change everything. Change everything. He was prompted. In verses 14 and 15, David promised to spend the rest of his life singing praises for forgiving him. The rest of his life. Thank you, Lord. I will always have a song on my breath. I will always worship you. I will always thank you every morning at 10 o'clock when my reminder comes on to thank you frequently every morning. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. David also vowed to sing and declare the righteousness of God. Because it's only the righteousness of God that could forgive those things that he did. Amen. And when we confess our sins, we should also renew our commitment to serve the Lord. And God can use our experience of restoration to encourage others to repent and come back to him. You know how I know a healthy church? It's how many people are serving in the church. Okay? Because healthy people before God want to serve. They want to give. They want to give back. They can't help it. People who just sit back, it doesn't, you know what? People who are right with God, they want to be able to speak that love into someone else. They want to just give those words. Scripture commands us to help others when sin overtakes them. Did you know that? In Galatians 1 and 2, Galatians 1 and 2, it says that when someone is in sin, when it's going to overtake them, we are to continually help them. Too many believers are guilty, and hear me now, okay, because I'm not scolding you, but I'm scolding some of Christianity in the past here today, okay? Too many believers are guilty of shunning those who err, rather than reaching out to them with God's love and grace. You often hear me say, help me, don't hurt me. Okay? And if God would restore David to that place, then what happens is we should extend the same type of grace to each other, and we should lift each other up, and we should help each other, and not point fingers because we have three fingers pointing back. Amen? Okay? And I'll tell you one thing. If you have a judgmental spirit where you're pointing fingers at everyone else, you have three that are pointing back, and you need to go on a prayer, private prayer retreat alone with God. If you sense that you always have a critical spirit, you're always pointing fingers and putting someone else down, and it's always somebody else's fault, you need to go on a prayer retreat all by yourself like David did and get alone with God and just allow him to renew and ask God to restore the joy of walking with him. Amen? Amen. And I'm telling you, I'll go quick, but I was in Swiss Chalet many years ago, and you know us when we go to a restaurant, okay? Those people who serve us, whether it's the manager, the cooks, anyone, that's our mission field when we go in there. And they're going to get the love of God from us. They're not going to get our complaints and all of this stuff. They're not there to serve us. We're there to serve them. And we were in Swiss Chalet one time, and I walked in. I could just sense there was something wrong in the place. I could sense it in my spirit. Lord, what is going on here? I just felt it was unhappy. It was an unhappy place. And I called our server. I said, what's going on here? She goes, oh, I can't tell you that. I said, get back over here. I said, what is going on here? She says, that table over there. She says, those church people over there, they were so mean to all of us today. And it just broke our spirit. She didn't use that language, but it just broke us today. And I'm thinking like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That should never be us. That should never be us. We should be the ones that are full of the joy of the Lord. So some people would say, what is it with you people? What is it with you? Tell me, why are you the way you are? Why are you the way you are? Why do you sing the loudest in the church? Why, a young man like this, what are you doing dancing all around the church here? What's your story? What's happening in your life? And finally, We need to continually surrender ourselves to God. Otherwise, we tend to quickly lose the brokenness produced by the painful consequences of our sin. Did you want me to repeat that? Okay. Otherwise, we tend to quickly lose the brokenness produced by the pain. Now, it doesn't mean that we're to walk in pain, okay? It does not mean that God wants us to walk around in continual sorrow for the sin that has been forgiven. On the contrary, He wants to restore the joy and the gladness of our heart. And David's heart had hindered his prayers. How many of you can relate to that, really? Sometimes your hard heart hinders your prayers. Amen? Come on, be honest, okay? Hinders my prayers. And David's heart had hindered his prayers. We could see proof of that in Psalm 66 and verse 18. And immediately after confessing his sins, you know what he did? And renewing his commitment to the Lord, he prayed for the city of Jerusalem. So as soon as he was forgiven, as soon as he was restored, as soon as the joy was brought back into his life, what did he do? He prayed for the city of Jerusalem. Amen? So the Lord, okay, so maybe, it's so good. I love the Psalms. And one of the most important responsibilities as believers that we have, guess what, is to pray for others. It really is. It's one of the most important responsibilities we have to pray for others, because when you come out of your devotional life, you automatically think about people. You automatically, this morning it was so beautiful. Jen, I got to tell you something, the Kingdom Kids and what was happening on Sunday night, you know me, I like to walk through the sanctuary on a Sunday morning and pray. I lay hands on every pew. David, I pray for you every Sunday because I stop right there where you're sitting. And I walk through, and one of our young girls that was up there this morning was following me, and I was praying for every pew, and she was following and laying hands on every pew right behind me. Okay? What happens is when the Lord restores us, the first thing that we do is we want to pray for others, because God is merciful. And He is gracious, and He forgives us when we come in repentance and in faith to Him. David did not want cheap forgiveness. He came with a broken heart. Amen? And Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Amen? Isn't that good? Do you like that psalm? Why don't you stand with me this morning? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Melissa, you know the song you blessed me with when you first began this morning? 10,000 Reasons. Could you just start to sing that? And would you sing that with Melissa and just join in? Just visualize David standing before the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Thank you. Worship His holy. You want to help her? Never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. It's a new day.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
God is good, amen. Close your eyes for a second. Thank you, Lord. How many of you here, you've just been carrying some burdens some sins maybe that you haven't given over to God, but you know that you need to. Like David, you've been carrying it for too long, and maybe there's some shame or some fear or something, and you just need to give it over to God this morning. I'm going to show you, put up your hand if that's you this morning. Thank you.